is on idolatry, something we don't hear too much about, but we're going to look at three things. And before I start my message, I want to thank my brother Bruce Henning for helping me out with this message today. We spent a lot of time on it, and I thank him for that. And I wish he could be here to hear it, but I guess he'll hear it on the web. I thank him for that. So we're going to look at idolatry is treating something that is not God like it was God. And our three main points today is, why is idolatry wrong? We'll look at that. Why do people commit idolatry? And then we're going to look at, how is idolatry seen today? So if we could open our Bibles, the first section of the message, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 20. And this is going to be pertaining to, why is idolatry wrong? Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. It says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So as we see here, God spoke these words saying, he is God and he is God alone. And he brought the children out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, and there shall be no other gods before him. So as we see this in verse 4, is he asked that no other graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is heaven beneath, or that is in the water underneath appearing. So as we see here, as the creator, we're getting confused with the creation and the creator. We have a creator, and then he made his creation, and we are his creation. Not only us, but everything in the earth and underneath the earth. And he requires our soul worship and praise goes towards him. As an example, he's saying right here that no graven image shall be made. I was at with a buddy a couple years ago, at a Catholic store, which they had nothing but graven images of things above earth, things beneath the earth, and in the oceans. And my spirit was grieved when I walked in there. I thought that here we have God's words specifically saying that you shall not worship any other gods and not take any graven images. And I'm walking around the Catholic store there and looking at robes and clay models of angels and clay models of the Lord, priests, and people are purchasing all this stuff. They're buying all this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, the guy I was with was with a Catholic, but my spirit was definitely grieved because the Lord Jesus Christ is inside each and every one of us, and the Holy Spirit guides us and tells us what is right and what is wrong. So this is things that God extremely hates, is when people do that. And people do this all day long. Because he is a jealous God, as you see in verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." God loves us so much, he's actually jealous of us, that he doesn't want us to give any of our affection to anything but him. And he's hurt when we do that. As an example, My dad was recently in the hospital, and he's just getting out. But a year ago, when he broke his hip, he went to the same doctor for many, many years. The same doctor, and he became good friends with this doctor. I mean, they were like buddy-buddy and stuff like that. And so anyway, he breaks his hip. He's in the hospital, and this doctor was by his side. You know, and my dad almost died pretty much. I mean, you could have just said he was about ready to die. But the guy stood by him, stuck with him, got the right kidney doctors in there. And he just says, I want to save your dad's life. And remember, they were really, really good friends. So after all this windstorm and all this stuff we went through, my dad miraculously pulls out of dying. And it's just on account of prayers, obviously, from the Lord's will that he stayed alive. But this doctor that put so much time and effort into saving my dad's life, when he got done and got well, my parents actually had a falling out with this guy, which I just could not believe. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know if it's my mom and dad's old age or whatever, but here's a guy that saved my dad's life, and they were something about medication, or they couldn't get a sample or something like that. But when I heard this, my sister called the doctor, and you could tell in his voice that he was hurt. It just like he said, well, I'm no longer your dad's doctor. But it's just like, as an example, as God so loved us that he's done so much for us, but then we just say, you know, I want nothing to do with you. And I felt, my God, I mean, how can you act like that? How can you treat somebody like that? I mean, the sin nature, I mean, I don't know if they know what they're doing, but it's just like not even a thank you or whatever. I mean, you know, there's no humbleness. I mean, it's all about them, and they weren't even thankful. As an example, when God led the children out of the land of Egypt, I mean, he fed them, gave them water, took care of them, saved them, and to give the thanks back to the Lord, as was Moses was up on the mountaintop, they make a graven image of a golden calf. And they were worshiping something that is unbelievably meaningless, and you could see where God's wrath came down on them, and he had every right to. I mean, it's just a poor example of serving the creature rather than the creator. Today, we should ask ourselves, do we want to give God his total place on that? And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love him and kept his commandments. He still showed mercy on them. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. He is the Lord God alone, visiting the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hated him. Because we belong to him, and he purchased us, and we were bought with a price. You ever hear that? We were purchased with a price. Our salvation came at the price of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. And he will remember them no more. What a glorious and wonderful thing that we should never, ever forget. As we come to the morning meeting this morning, remember our Lord and Savior this morning, we remember that we were bought with a price. Therefore, we should glorify the Lord God with our 100% focus and worship towards him and thanking him. Why do people commit idolatry? That's our next point we're going to look at. Why do people commit idolatry? Let's look at Romans. Turn to Romans. Now this is very interesting right here. We're going to start the first chapter of Romans 18 through 25. We're going to break this down now. Romans 18:1-18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So the first part is, it is not ignorance. God says we are without excuse down here to know that who he is, God. If you go outside the church here, you look at the sky, the trees, the air, the land. You go look at the mountains, the sea, how the world was framed and made. And you have without excuse not to believe that there's a God. And they did not glorify God. They wanted the glory. That's idolatry. They did not glorify God because they want the glory. You see people today wanting the attention, and movie actors, singers, people in general that want attention or seeking the riches and the glory of this life. And they want all the glory. It says in verse 21 here, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Basically, the Lord says, the fool said in his heart that there is no God. They weren't thankful. They lost the sight in what God has done. We look at Isaiah 14, where it starts with Satan, with the I wills. We're going to take a quick look at that. Isaiah 14. It says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You see, it all started in the beginning when Satan had found iniquity in his heart and this pride and his lust, and he wanted to be like God. He shows us a great example here how God is the sovereign God who is one and one alone, and there'll be no other gods before him. That is one of the greatest commandments that we have today, is to love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you love anything more than God, you're not worthy of God, and it is an idol. If you love your wife, your kids, your mother, your father, your jobs, your money, your hobbies, anything more than God, it is an idol, and that is a bad thing. A lot of people today also invest in other type of idols, such as genealogies, witchcraft, soothsayers, horoscopes. They're putting their trust and their faith into anything but God and the Word of God. Notice why a lot of people don't read the Bible and they don't study the Word of God, because they don't want to hear the truth of it. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. It says plain and clear, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. lost in the sight of what God has done. Has anybody ever been thankful for what God has done for them? Instead, they say it's just by chance that they're successful or wealthy, or they have nice things and they have no worries, but are they ever thankful to God for what he's done for them? No, they're not. How is idolatry seen today? Covetousness is idolatry. Not thankful. Serving money. Are you worshiping money more than God? Are you worshiping your hobby more than God? Or are you working? As people worship the creation more than the Creator in such things as sports and people and hobbies. People look at movie stars as idols. People look at sports figures as idols. Now, it's okay, it's nothing wrong with looking at sports or playing sports, but if it takes the place of God, it's an idol. If you should be here at the breaking of the bread, we're busy doing something else, that's a form of an idol. God should come absolutely first in your life. No question about that. And that goes for the 11 o'clock and the 6 o'clock. You should be here. If I'm out playing baseball at 6 o'clock, God is being put second. And that's idolatry. That's covetousness. I'm looking to do something of my own wants and my own needs instead of putting God first. If you ever look at the TV show American Idol, look at that, American Idol. They say, they're telling them, this is an interesting thing I just wrote down, is they say that they're going to Hollywood. They should be telling them that they're going to hell. I mean, I'm just going to share my opinion. I mean, it's just a sing-along show, but that's a perfect example of an idol. You know, they're worshiping these people up there singing and doing this, and God is nowhere to be found. What a sad, sad thing. God is nowhere to be found at all. And that goes to show with all the corruption on TV and in the movies how bad it is. As we look at other things as a form of idolatry, people just put their trust in their well-beings, in what they have, as I said before, and they're worshiping things right now, and it's gotten so bad out there, it's so wicked, that they get into vehicles, boats, pleasures, anything that takes the place of God. You see it all around us. I was talking to Alana last night. She said something very interesting that we were talking about the Kaylee Anthony case and stuff like that. And we were talking how bad it was that she got acquitted or something like that. And she says nothing shocks her nowadays. And that just registered to me. I'm thinking, yeah, nothing shocks me nowadays how wicked the world is right now. When I graduated 25 years ago, it wasn't as bad as it is now. And I'm thinking it's so bad now that there's nothing shocking out there now that I can't imagine 25 years from now. You think about that. If it's bad now and it wasn't bad 25 years ago, none of the stuff that's taking place now, can you imagine what it would be like 25 years from 2011 today, how bad it's going to be? Lord willing, the Lord will come back and rapture us out of here, and we'll never have to deal with this wicked world again and all the evil and wickedness that takes place. I'm going to look at a passage in Colossians 3:5. If you've got your Bibles turned back to Colossians 3:5. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which you also have walked some time when you have lived in them. But now you also put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Before I got saved, my idol was drumming and rock and roll bands. That was my idol. That's all I cared about each and every day, practicing drums, looking to gain the world, and how God miraculously and lovingly saved me, taught me everything, and it's just such a blessing to be here instead of there, who pulls you out of the miry clay and into the pit, as we saw in Psalm 40 this morning. What a beautiful passage. When Jesus says, "What hath a man profit if he gain the whole world yet loses his own soul?" You know, it's just so funny how people just don't even think about dying and where they go when they die. I was ran into a guy last night at the store. I was riding my bike last night, and I haven't seen him in 25 years. And I recognized him, and he didn't know who I was, but I refreshed his memory. And we talked about just some people, and he said one guy that we went to school with was a judge now. And I said, "Well, that's good." And I said, I happen to know his father, and I haven't talked to him in about 5-6 years and stuff like that. He was a well-to-do attorney, real rich, real wealthy. I don't know if he knew Christ or not, but from what I took it at, his God is making money and being an outstanding lawyer, and just putting his focus and his time and his energy towards that and trusting in that and stuff like that. So we just kept talking. He says, "Yeah." I said, "Did you know this guy?" He goes, "Yeah, I did." I said, "Well, how's he doing? I haven't talked to him." And he said, "Well, he passed away." I said, "When did?" Oh, I said, "Oh my God, when did he pass away?" He says, "About 9 months ago, 10 months ago. Oh my gosh, no kidding. You know, it says in Ephesians is, you know, your spirit goes back to God who gave the Spirit. You think about that. When you die, you go back. You're going back. In Hebrews, it says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And it's amazing how nobody wants to talk about that, think about that, prepare for that. They prepare for things like college education. They prepare for what they're going to do when they retire. They prepare for vacations. But none of them, they have no, they don't prepare for where they're going to go spend eternity. Isn't that what it's all about? You know, everybody's appointed to die, and then judgment happens. That's why when you go to the house of mourning, it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of mirth, to the house of feasting, because that is the end of all men. And God clearly puts that in our hearts. He sets eternity in our hearts. That's why when you go to funerals, you know, I mean, nobody likes to go to funerals, but that's reality, man. That's why it's important to get right with God while you have the day that you have in front of you, the breath in your lungs, to accept Christ as your Savior and believe on Him who has saved us and prepare for eternity. And storing your treasures in heaven as opposed to things on earth. If you think about that, what people idolize now, I mean, it's all, at the end of the day, it's just absolutely meaningless about these people that have gained so much of the world. You know, they spend their lives as, you know, whatever, doctors, businessmen, lawyers, entrepreneurs, or this and that. You read about it and stuff like that, but it's all left to the next person. It's absolutely has no meaning or purpose. That's the key word, meaning or purpose. Do we have meaning or purpose today for God? Are we serving God? At the end of the day, I want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, it's about Him, not about us. Are we serving God? Are we fellowshipping with God every day? Are we reading our Bibles every day? Are we in the Word every day? Are we fellowshipping with Christians every day? Are we watching who we hang around? There's a good passage in Proverbs. I love this. I just found this the other day. You know, you keep reading the book and stuff like that. It says, Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." Now I've been around a lot of my old friends, and I really don't want to be around them anymore, and I don't be around them because they know what position I stand for now, and I've got absolutely nothing to do with them. It is easier when you get around them for them to try to pull you down than for you to pull them up out of the pit that they're in. But it's just amazing, amazing how they just have no, they go about their lives serving the creature as opposed to the creator. And that is not just them, but if you think about it, people get involved with their animals too. They serve the dogs, the horses. I watch the Animal Planet a lot and stuff like that, and these people are worshiping these tigers and lions and stuff like that. I mean, it's perfectly written how God's word is so sharp, so clear as to how wicked that is. Isn't that crazy? You're worshiping a creation that God created. He's up in heaven. But you're worshiping a creation. They say how much they love their poodle, or they love their Great Dane, or they're just all that stuff. It's all wicked. Their cat. They put the animal in their wills. Isn't that just unbelievable? They put their animals in their wills, and that's their love. Because when God says to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, mortify them. Have nothing to do with them. Uncleanliness, fornication, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Yeah, wow, wow, wow. You got to watch what you take in. We got to watch what we serve down here. I mean, I really watch that. I try to watch that, and I encourage everybody to do that. I mean, it's like I said, it's not a bad thing to do a lot of activities, but just don't get too involved with them because you never want it to take the place of the Lord. Another good passage which we're going to look at is 1 John 5. This is some good stuff here about that. 1 John 5:20 and 21. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. See, as we see in this passage, that God reveals over and over that Jesus Christ is the true God and the only God. And this is the true God and eternal life. So when we set our hearts and affections on him and him alone for eternal life, what a glorious thing that is. And when it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols, it's so bad. God hates idolatry so bad that some people go to hell. A lot of people go to hell because they put their trust and their faith in anything but Jesus. You think about that. Look at that. When they want nothing to do with Jesus, I mean, and they you got to make some type of a decision before you die. It's either you're going for Jesus Christ until you die and you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, or you haven't. God says, he who has the Son hath life, but he that does not have the Son does not have life, but has the wrath of God abiding upon him. So basically, without Christ, you're not only dead in your sins, but you're going to go to hell for eternity. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. You know, in the Word of God, he just says over and over again who his Son is and how to get to heaven and how to worship the creature or worship the Creator as opposed to the creation. And he gives us truth One thing about the Bible, it is truth. He gives it over and over and over again. And it's amazing how people just don't read the simplicity of the gospel. Anything that is not Christ is an idol to some people, to everybody. They're not thankful, and they're caught up in so much corruption down here that Satan has completely blinded their eyes as to what the true God is. He's blinded their minds and all their distractions, and he's, as an example, how wicked he is. It says here in Exodus, it says, verse 3 of 20, it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Some examples, if you read in the Bible, Ra, Balaam, the sun god, all these people, you can see how angry the Lord has gotten towards these people that worship all these ungodly gods. Ra, Balaam, the golden calf, I mean, Jezebel, when you read in that, her and her husband, Ahab, I believe his name is, I'm not exactly certain about that, but you know what's so unbelievable is after all their wickedness, God still gave them room to repent. Isn't that amazing? He still gave them, before they're going to die and go into eternity, he gave them all a chance to turn from that. Turn from their idolatry. He was going to forgive them. He says their sins he will remember no more if they repent and turn back. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he had laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. See, the Lord knows our heart. He looks on the inward appearance as other people look on the outward appearance. And he knows our heart. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When we have Christ walking in us each and every day, that is a powerful, powerful gift that God has sent us, as the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. And we must be careful where we go and what we do. A little story I just shared with Dan a few days ago. I was hearing like one of the messages is there was two couples and another couple. They were going on like a double date somewhere. And the one couple in the front said, let's go to this place over there. And I think it was like a discotheque or something like that. And what was interesting is the one girl in the back of the seat with her date said, well, I don't think the person I'm with would want to go there. And the guy next to her said, he goes, oh, I don't mind going there. She goes, no, the person of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ who is inside me wouldn't want to be there. And it just made me think about that. If you think about that, you know, wherever you go, you know, it's just like you got to be careful on where you go, because that spirit is inside you, speaking to you, grieves you, and tells you that ain't a place for you to be. You know, a bar, this, that, you know. And when you do go in there, it's like light walking into complete darkness. That's literally what it is. You know, I mean, you know, we've all been places where we were there by accident and stuff like that, but you just see your spirit grieved. As we conclude the message today, let us just be aware of stuff we take in and what we think about, what we do, what we idolize. Let us idol the Lord God, Jesus Christ. Let us worship him and him alone. And he has all the glory, he has all the praise, and he deserves all the thanks, because that's what we'll be doing for eternity, is praising him. I heard a good quote is, if you're not going to praise him now, what makes you think you're going to want to praise him in eternity? If you're not here at the morning meetings now, what makes you think you're going to want to sing in heaven? You know, if you're not going to praise him here now, what makes you going to want to do that in eternity and in heaven with our Lord and our Savior? Jesus Christ, and we thank him. So as we looked at a bunch of factors today, I just wanted to say, to recap some of these things, idolatry is treating something that is not God like it was God. Why do people commit idolatry? It is not ignorance. They did not glorify God. They want the glory. They weren't thankful. They lost sight in what God has done for them. Are we thankful for what God and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ has done for us by dying on the cross and paying for our sins? Are we thankful for that? How is idolatry seen today? Covetousness is idolatry. That's all people think about nowadays is money, ill-gotten gain, and serving the creature rather than the creator. Let us be careful of that. Let us be careful of what we watch, what our hobbies are. And most important, coming to the meetings, coming to our Bible studies on Wednesdays, coming to the morning meeting, coming to the 11 o'clock Bible hour, coming on Sunday. This is the Lord's Day is Sunday. It's funny, I was thinking, trying to calculate how many hours there are in a week. Let me see. 24 hours in a day times 7 is 2,868 hours in a week. And you can't carve out 3 or 4 hours for God on a Sunday, let alone each and every day of your life. A lot of people can't even commit 1 half hour or a half hour to God throughout the week out of 168 hours in a week. They can't, a half an hour is 30 minutes, you know. We should be reading our Bibles for 30 minutes per day or something like that, or whatever you can get in there. But it's amazing how people just don't have time for them. It's a shame. It's a shame. So, but praise God for his word today. I hope everybody got something out of the message. And we give God all the glory today. And we're going to close. Lord, we just thank you for this day you've given us down here. I thank you for this church that you give me. I thank you for the brothers and sisters here, Lord. Please, Lord, bless each and every one of us, Lord, and let us continue to praise you, Lord. Let us soak your word in and meditate on it, Lord, and saturate our minds with it and live by it, Lord, and keep our sights on you. Keep looking up for our redemption. Keep our eyes up and not on the things of earth, Lord. Set our affections above and not on the things of earth, because our redemption draws nigh, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessings, Lord. Keep us healthy, Lord. We want to lift up everybody that is sick, especially Dan's mother, Lord, today. He's really battling that, Lord. We just pray for peace and you heal her, Lord. And we pray those test results come back negative. Pray the right doctor gets involved and helps her out. Pray for my mom and my dad today, and I thank you for them. I just want to lift up Dan Chevier to you too, Lord, as we are chained to him in that jail. And, you know, when somebody leaves the church, Lord, whether it be him or Jim or something like that, we notice a difference, Lord, you know. There's one or two less chairs that are filled here, Lord, on Sunday, and it's discouraging, Lord. It's tough to see people that come to you and then they walk away. And we just pray, Lord, we can reel them back in. You know, it's when you battle the devil, Lord, it's tough that we've got to deal with him. But he's tough. He's definitely angry with us, Lord, hates us. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, Lord. And we just pray that we can somehow bring him, reel him back into the church, Lord, and get this place going again. And but thank you for letting us keep our faith, Lord, strong. We thank you for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, today. And we lift this up in his name. Amen.